Hey, Los Angeles, I love you. It's J-Dot, T-Dot, and on this installment of JT the LA Storyteller Podcast, yours truly catches up with Deuce Sace, as well as Sick-Ass Ham of the VVs, to talk about the making of Virgil Village, the album. It is the first podcast of many more to come in the brand new studio setup, and I can't wait for us to get into this. It is a whole new broadcasting regime in LA, and if you're not subscribed to the podcast yet, please hit the follow or subscribe button ASAP, as that is crucial for yours truly to spread the word, to let the city know. Okay, with that said, stay vigilant and stay tuned. It's J-Dot, T-Dot, out with more soon. It's Jimbo times.
Are we doing it?
Yeah, we're cutting in right now. Yeah, we're testing it out.
Copy.
We're just kicking it.
So, low key, I think for sure Elmer brought that, but he brought that like, which I fucked with. He brought that like task completion type of shit. Like,
hey,
you know, like we can have fun, which is something that I've always learned. Like, especially in film, we can have fun doing this shit, but like it's more work related kind of. And then through that, you kind of learn how to have fun. But we probably clashed heads a couple times. Because sometimes we were a little too, like too strict.
Mm.
Or too, like, we're just here to work. Like, we're not here to fuck around. Can we cuss?
Yeah, you're okay.
So, like, you know, because it just got to the, not it got to the point, but, like, it's just, I guess that's just how, like, we kind of are. And I don't know, so... There's a lot for sure. It's more fucking around, like yeah. When we're in the studio, where you know we're smoking, drinking.
I think I was the one that was mostly fucking around all the time because I was like laughing and then just joking.
I mean, but
around.
That's cool though. That's cool.
I mean, it's cool too. Yeah, but there was a time to get serious too. Like whenever we had to make a song, we had to make.
Man, I like that because I see Ham and I'm like, this is everybody's guy. Like, like Ham is there for you. Ham has got your back. Ham is going to roll with you.
Oh, yeah.
And then the only thing is like, all right, Ham, like now it's time for us to get this verse down, bro. Come on.
Exactly. But
like it's all about the vibe. It's all about that energy. Like you also need Ham.
Ham brought the vibe. Fuck yeah, the music.
That's what Ham I'm saying. Yeah, because you need that in a crew, you need that in your community, you need somebody who just brings you back down to earth.
To earth, exactly. Back to reality. Yeah.
It's cool though. It's cool though because like it would not have been as fun or as like if all of us were there to just work or if all of us were just there to like fuck around. Like each person kind of like brought in what they brought in. So that kind of made the day like go, you know, like each individual person, how they were and how they write, how whatever their process is, it was just kind of like a part of how we are. And I kind of wish, to a certain extent, I knew that then. Like my process is different. The way that you know, like when I hear music or what, and I start to boom, my process is that Elmer's process is kind of the same. Whereas Elias is in, well, not even Elias, but like it just wasn't the same process. And I kind of wish I would have understood that a little bit better, as opposed to just like. Kind of like complain about it, I guess, because I did a lot of complaining. Sure.
Actually, what you're saying really hones in on something, which is, first of all, that was the first time that everybody was getting together like this.
Yes, for sure.
This was the year of 2020. There was a whole lot going on. In fact, the very reason for the album coming together in the first place was something serious, something that you don't play with.
Yeah,
and then that time, 2020. I think everyone would, there are so many more people who would like to forget rather than remember just how much folks were going through at that moment in time.
Yeah.
Right?
That's actually very, yeah.
And then what I really appreciate about what you're saying is that, like, in hindsight, I realize we could have done it a little differently. Mm-hmm. The point is that you got it done. Now you can actually take that form, what you've put out already, reassess your process. And as we've already said, as we've already talked about, go at it again, give it another shot, see what else comes through the next go round, which is exciting.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
It kind of is, yeah. After we met up with you, we kind of had like this little 2-3 minute talk outside of the shop, of like the mom and pop. And we were like, I think we should do this shit again. And like, I felt it and I saw in everybody's faces that it was like, if we were to get together, which I'm pretty sure we will, it's just a timing thing. Like, I just know it deep in my heart that it's going to be a different thing, like process-wise. Because I guess when it comes to like the making music, everybody in their own way is skilled. So it's not like, it's more like learning how to make a better project, but not music-wise, more like how to like be, you know, like in the same room and like get it done kind of thing.
I mean, I think Cam knows a little bit about that because you stay on a team.
Yeah, of course. I think we all have, like, creative differences, but we all come together as one. So I think that's what we are people like. Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Like,
actually, you just came up with a phrase that I had not heard before, which is creative differences.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, we all have our creative differences. Yeah, but we all in the same.
But you know what's crazy? Even though... our creative differences is different and our process of doing things were different or are different or whatever, there was never a time where, like, we didn't, take into account somebody's idea on something. Whether it would be, like Caesar trying to do a hook and he'd be, like, because we would be stuck. Like, well, we don't know what the hook is, so the beat will be playing for, like, 15, 10 minutes. And sometimes it's hard to, like, write a verse because we don't know what the hook is. So we don't know what the premise, like, what are we going to do here? Are we going to talk shit? Are we going to flaunt? Are we going to flex? Are we going to talk about the struggles? But, like, anybody, any moment that said, I have an idea, let me do it, even if it was whack, we still kind of, like, well, just, like, do it better, kind of. Like, we never...
Even if that's whack, bro.
No. Not whack, but, like, for example, like, maybe it wasn't properly timed on the song. Like, we weren't, like, on beat kind of thing. I cannot recall one moment when we were, like, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. I don't think.
I think we all took the constructive criticism very well. You know what I mean? So I think that's what helped us out a lot too in making music. We all took criticism very well and we proceeded, you know?
Everybody was able to like bob and weave, like
it gave us that little push.
Yeah.
I feel like it was that little push in order for us to get this done. So it was really cool that we all fed off each other like that.
Right. I mean, And to wind back a little bit, to be sure, we are here with two MCs. We are here with two born and raised Virgil Village residents.
That's right.
VB's. From day one to infinity.
That's right.
We got two of the VVs in the house, and I just want to really recognize you for coming through today, for making time to have this talk with me.
I just realized that's,
for all of it.
That's you, right?
That's me too. That's JimboTimes.com.
That's dope as fuck. It's crazy that, like, because I'm more surprised that, like, you're willing to do all this shit for us. Like, it'd be different if, like, we were to hit you up and be like, hey, we want to rent out the studio. Here's $50 for the hour, X, Y, and Z or whatever. Usually that's how shit goes. But the fact that you are willing to do the mom and pop stuff and then this and then plus more, it kind of gives me more like, damn, we should do another tape. Like, because this is tight. Like, I would never have expected for somebody to want to do this, especially from something that, like, I did or something that I was a part of kind of shit. Like, it kind of shows me that, like, I guess what we did impacted somebody out there some way, somehow.
I mean, we were just talking about it a moment ago. We were talking about Native Guns.
Yeah, Native Guns.
Right? We were talking about a crew who you're going to check out soon.
I
as soon as you get through 2 to 3 jams on your playlist, you're going to realize, damn, like, these cats were skilled. And not just that, people around them noted it. And then it became even more of a situation because people really thrived off those jams. People really enjoyed coming together, being under one umbrella, in their case, Filipino town and Filipinx culture, coming up in LA from an immigrant family, coming up in LA, working class, working for every little bit that you got. Yep. And so for me, when we're out here and it's 2023 and I come across Virgil Village, the album, all of those things click. And I'm like, oh, by all means, like if somebody took the time to put this together on their own end, especially as five different heads, five different personalities, somebody has to at least know that this happened. Right. At the very least, people got to know. It's just like when we send out satellites to space and we have no idea what's coming back or if they're getting anything. But the point is, we got to give that a shot, just like y'all did, right? Exactly. You gave it a shot at the end of 2020. December 2020 is when the album published. And then nearly 3 years later, some cat is bumping the album and letting y'all know that, hey, you know what? Let's take some time to really think about this and put it out for people to see. So it's because where I'm at, it's highly important for me to find working class people, especially people who have to take time out of their 9 to 5.
That's what you brought up. That's what you brought up last time at the pizza shop, which I was kind of interested in that. Why is it specifically that you view that as a point? Like, because I don't know. For one thing, it's crazy that it's just the timing of it was just crazy. It was just meant to be, because if we try to do it now, I mean, we can't even get all here together because we're like busy. And I guess COVID's done, so everybody is working. That throughout that time, we were always like available. Like,
yeah, we were available
like almost every day. Every day.
Yeah,
almost every day. And almost every other day, we were at the studio. Like,
yeah. Definitely the pieces fell.
Yeah, together. For sure.
Right.
So it's, I'm kind of curious as to why. Because nobody has ever told me anything like that. Usually it's always like, oh, hey, congrats on what you're doing. I see you doing it. And like, that's it. But I guess the fact that you bring it up, it's more, like, it makes it real. Like, yeah, because we do have jobs and we do fucking like try to work and try to save up here and there or whatever. And like, we still do make the time to like make this. So it almost makes me question, like, why do I do it if I have a job already and, you know, X, Y, and Z? So I kind of like that you always bring that up. It makes me think more like I should probably do something with like this.
Well, and it's just like you said, it's like in 2020, there was a uniqueness to that time.
Yeah.
So it's almost a gap year. And it's almost like this anomalous situation, right? It was an outlier. It was this sliver of time where you did not have to worry specifically or strictly about showing up for your shift, because if you didn't, you have to start that search all over again for your bills and for your food and for your rent. And so it was this sliver of time where, just like you said, everybody got to do a little bit of what they're, first of all, interested in doing, something that is important to them. And just like you all are putting out these rhymes and you're taking the time to think about a memorial to somebody that you truly care for, and you're doing it because you feel it just needs to get done, it's the exact same process for me, where like when everything is said and done, the time capsules that I'm able to put together with my people, those are important to me for whoever comes up. Yeah. I don't know if you all ever visited LACC like this, but back in the day when my fams and I would get out there just to chill on the grass and enjoy the serenity of the spot a little bit, we used to come across these time capsules that were like planted in
the ground. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so the time capsule would say like, don't open this until 2050 or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, these cats are ill to think about something like that.
Yeah,
to think about putting whatever meant something to them in a little box in the ground and to let people know this is for you, but you got to wait for it. That idea never left me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And for me, Virgil Village, the album, is that. JT, the LA Storyteller podcast, is that. So that whenever whoever's next comes across some of this info and does what they got to do with it, by all means. You know what I mean?
I feel like it's this album might be motivation to somebody else to do something that's local.
Yeah.
So, you know, somebody from the VVs might see our album and be like, you know what, I could do that. Yeah. Or I could do something like that. You know?
Yeah.
So it's really cool that you say that.
That's 100% the case, because one thing I noted in the story for this album was that it's been 50 years of hip hop. in the world. 50 years of hip hop. And they just celebrated it at the Grammys in February. And
yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And you had all these folks come through. And what I noted as well was that, hey, like, hip hop is everywhere now. You can go to Saudi Arabia, you can go to Kazakhstan, you can go to Papua New Guinea, and you'll find hip hop heads all over the world.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
And so then when I find hip hop heads just on the block on Virgil Avenue, not only people who are hip hop heads, but people who took the time to put these verses down, get these ideas on paper out, that we're going to call attention to it. Because there are a whole bunch of other people, I'm certain, who have asked before, hey, is there hip hop down there? Hey, like, does anybody jam to hip hop out here? Especially in the age of gentrification where, like, it's easy to pave over what was there before.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's the modus operandi. It's automatic that we're paving over what was there before. Yeah. But before that happens, for me, something like this is letting people know, hey, we were here.
Yeah.
Our stories were here. Mm-hmm. And especially if you know these blocks and if you know the neighborhood as young men, that doesn't just come easy. It doesn't just come easy.
Right.
There are a lot of people who we wish could be right inside of this room with us, who we wish we could be interviewing together.
Right.
We have gotten this far. And so at that point, it's like, well, now we owe it.
We owe it to everybody.
We owe it to the team. We owe it to everybody who didn't make it. And for me, Virgil Village, the album, is the beginning of that. It's actually not like, it's one project. It's complete up to this point. But just as you said, hey, like, there's more we want to do. So I'm all for that. And I know I'm not the only one.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I don't know what kind of, like, feedback you've gotten from, like, you know, like, the people around you. I mean, because we have mutual friends, but, like, people around your circle.
I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from a lot of people, especially from the neighborhood, to my family, to my friends, to even people who just heard it on Spotify or Apple Music, you know. And it's, you know, also there's going to be negative, you know, feedback too from people or, you know, but you got to look at the good things in life, you know, you got to look at the good.
Yeah, I'm surprised that, like, I don't want to say that I'm surprised that we got this much love and feedback, but I am kind of surprised.
I was surprised because I thought nobody was going to listen to us.
Yeah, facts.
At first, that's what my mindset was, like, oh, nobody's going to listen to us. And maybe we're
spit facts,
you know,
that's right.
Honestly, that was my thing. Sure. But then I said, you know what, I'm still gonna go and do
right.
I motivated myself internally, like,
it was crazy, bro. Like, the whole process shit was so fascinating. And like, I actually never realized how meaningful Virgil Village actually is.
Sure.
Until I was doing that album, because then, like, especially when we started to take pictures of, like, what the album cover was going to be like. And we saw the Swami picture. We took pictures of the cab station already, I think.
Yeah.
We took pictures of the car wash on Melrose and shit like that. So it was kind of like them to have grown up here, to have gone to the McDonald's here and, like, gone through these places, and then to know that, like, we're making a song about, I don't know, like, we're an hour, like, a whole project. It was kind of like, bro, like, I haven't even realized the neighborhood that I've been in. Mm-hmm. Like, I've known the streets, like you said, and it hasn't been, like, an easy thing because of, like, you know, gang related stuff. But, like, for me to be, I have never once said, oh, I'm proud to be from Virgil Village until I started to make the album, because that's when I really realized, like, oh, community and all this, like, it's important, and this shit really does exist. Like, for example, like, you're very community driven. You rep Virgil Village even before the VV's tape. You were about the village anyway, which is what I really fuck with. And, like, I didn't realize that until I started to make the album, that I'm like, dude, I really live in this community and there's other people like me. Mm-hmm. It was for sure dope making it with people that lived in the block. Like,
that's right.
Literally a couple blocks away, like, street, maybe different times. Maybe we didn't know each other back then, but, like, that was just crazy. Like, it was meant to be. Like, everybody knew the grit of, you know, of this area kind of shit. So it really helped piece together the same mindset and the same view of, like, the neighborhood.
That's really real. And I mean, for me, it's like, that's this neighborhood, that's this slice of LA, and yet that exists for kids just like us all across this city, all across this
and
country.
See, I didn't like I didn't I didn't look at it like that. Because to me, it was more like, well, I live in L.A.
Yeah, same.
Right. But never have I really thought, like, well, I'm from Virgil Village. Like,
well, those two are intertwined.
They are intertwined.
Those two those two are almost the same.
For one thing, we got Virgil Village here, and then you go a couple minutes, it's Los Feliz. So, like, there's so many cities intertwined mm-hmm. within L.A. that it's kind of hard to really... I guess that's why it's kind of hard to rep a community specifically because L.A. is so big. That's and right. yet, it's just... I guess it's kind of easier to say, like, yeah, L.A. or, like, Hollywood, for example, East Hollywood.
Yeah.
That's what I would say, L.A. And if they would ask where specifically, I'd say East Hollywood. And it wasn't until I made the tape that I realized, shit, there's even a deeper area in East Hollywood, which is Virgil Village. And like,
well, I mean, even on the album, you are quoting Mac P. Rest in peace, Mac P, dog. And you quote him during this interview in which he says, I grew up in East Hollywood, more specifically Virgil Village.
Yeah, yep. Which was crazy.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah.
That interview is from 2019. Yeah. And so even at that point, this was a reality for somebody. This was the way to navigate it for somebody.
Wow, you know what I mean? That's dope. No, you're right. You're 100% right.
Well, what was really cool about that interview is that Joshy never forgot where he came from.
Right.
So
right.
he always knew he was part of the village. Like, well, that was really cool.
I don't think he would have ever.
I mean, he was starting to blow up.
Yeah.
And he never forgot about his home. You know what I mean? So that was really cool for him, you know?
He never forgot. Yeah, you said it. He never forgot his home. I don't think that he would have ever forgotten, no matter how deep he would have gotten out there. I don't think that he would have ever forgotten, like, not that he struggled, but like the struggle of what it is to be here in any community. Because, you know, like, you if you live in Koreatown, whatever, that has a struggle on its own, whatever, right? But yeah, I for sure can tell that, like, he would have never forgotten. Like, this is so centric to, like, our lives and whatnot. Like, King Middle School, like, yeah. Dayton Heights, Lockwood Elementary, like, all of these places and areas, the McDonald's here, like, yeah. all of these things are so,
that's
like...
That's right. That's right.
Our hood, bro. Like, that's it's right. the streets, you know, like...
I mean, and that represents a time, you know what I mean? Like, when Nas in 94 puts out this album that's going to change the world, first and foremost, he's repping everybody. He's repping his crew. He's repping right. what he knows.
Right.
When Kendrick Lamar puts out Good Kid, Mad City... Mm-hmm. A whole community has this yeah. light shown on it. And so for me, when cats who look like me, who sound like me, who walk the way I do and even walk through the streets that I do are taking the time to put this together, that's just so key because that isn't guaranteed to happen again right. in the same way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's cool to think about what you may inspire from here on out, say in a neighborhood like Virgil Village or in the larger area of East Hollywood, but it's not guaranteed that you'll have another couple of heads who come together and say, let's rep this and let's just put it out for everybody to know. It's not promised, right?
Right.
So the fact that you did it in the first place is one thing. And now, even though it's harder to come together, even though everybody is on their grind, it is still worth giving these projects a shot.
Oh, for sure.
Of course.
For sure.
You know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
For sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there are people from, I mean, even in that Mac P interview, I think a little bit about where this cat who was speaking with him even heard of something like Virgil Village before.
Right.
Because it was clear that he hadn't grown up in the neighborhood, clear that he was asking about it, kind of surveying about it, just sort of off the top of his mind. And for me, it dawned on me that, hey, there are people all over who somehow know that Virgil Village exists. And in the work that I've gotten to do through my colleagues alongside my peers out here, there are folks from the 70s, from the 80s, certainly from the 90s.
Been knowing about, right?
Yeah, who had their own little sliver of time with the neighborhood, with right?
And that's the shit that really trips me out because, like I said, like, I never really started to look at it like that until I made this project with like, my friends. And, like, that kind of blew my mind. Like, bro, this is an actual area. This is an actual place on, like, a map kind of thing. It's not just our home or, like, our streets. It could be, like you said, like... an area in the 70s where people were together here, like little did we know kind of thing. And it's just, it was dope. Like, it's dope. I think that, again, like, I think the fact that we were all from here, including Joshy and like Marvin, may he rest in peace as well. Like, it just, it made it so, like, natural because we were all just from here. And not once did it ever feel like, for one thing, nope, not even our producer, Saul, was like an outside. He literally lived down the street on Burnside.
Also, shout out to.
Right, Burnside Studios. Shout out to Burnside Studios.
Burnside Studios, yes, sir.
Aztec, he's real dope. He helped us a lot.
Oh, yeah, a lot. Those are some cool beats. Those are some cool beats, man.
He really put in the time and the work to master and just perfect it.
Actually,
really good at what he does.
And this is what we'll do. What I want to really do. Good at what he does. What I want to do for a moment is let's actually listen to some of the album. We'll cut it in, throw in a song or two for the podcast so that folks tuning right into the podcast can click or connect directly with what you got going on. And
they're gonna put me on blast.
Hey, actually, now that you mentioned it, I got my little notepad.
I don't mind.
There you go. But this is what we'll do. Let's listen to a little bit of the album real quick, and then I'm actually gonna formally introduce you for a moment, just to be sure, just to make certain that people know who we got in the house today.
I'm repping today.
You're definitely repping it. Both of you are.
Hey. And it's crazy to think that like that shit was like 3-4 years ago. Time flies.
I know time flies. Time flies so bad. Really
that's right. Man. Yeah. So, that's right.
But yeah, I think
that had to get done. Go ahead, Ham. Go ahead.
I think a lot of stuff that happened back then really motivated us to do this.
Yeah, for sure. I think everybody was on the same frequency, like mentally. I think we were all trying to figure out, like our trying to make our stamp in the world kind of shit, you know, whatever that was, whether it be through your 9-to-5 or through this, that, or the other. Like I think everybody, even Saul, him being a producer, like everybody had something to like offer.
That's right.
Not just like musically kind of. Because there's many parts of it. Like, there was times where, like, I didn't have my, like, 25 cut for, like, the studio hour kind of thing. So either Elmer or Ham or Elias would be like, cool, fuck it, I'll spot an extra 25. Next session or whatever, spot me those back. And it would always like that. Sometimes Saul himself would be like, it's cool, whatever. If you guys don't have it today,
if you don't have it, you know,
give me 50 today, give me the rest tomorrow.
Well, and those are details too, right? Because even...
And shout out to Saul, because there were probably, like, one... There were, like...
There was actually a lot of time where we couldn't pay, and he helped us out a lot.
I mean, and those details are key, right? Because it takes that it takes that little click, it takes that thread, that link between you all. It takes the fact that you're repping the same neighborhood, that these are your boys, that this is not just business. Because all respect to business, but you do that every other day.
Right. I feel you.
You do that every other day. You do that with everybody else. But when it comes to your people, there's just something a little different. And that's the lasting thread that's led us here.
It's a different kind of love for sure.
It is a different kind of love.
That's
right.
So I mean, at some point.
Shout out to Saul, bro.
At some point, the neighborhood is coming together, actually. Like your parents or my parents or our grandparents, in some cases, they're coming over to Los Angeles for the first time ever. And they just so happen to land in Echo Park or Silver Lake or East Hollywood before these things are big names. And lo and behold, it takes a little letter, a bit of correspondence between them and the other side to let the other side know, hey, this is where I'm at. Pull up.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happens. Little by little, a couple of families turn into a dozen families. Right. A dozen families turn into a whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so it's been this way. But the fact of the matter is that somehow that survives when at the end of the day, you don't have quite everything you need for your homie at the studio, but your homie at the studio knows, hey, this project matters. We're going to get it done. I know you're going to get me when you can. Let's make it pop. That's how these neighborhoods keep going, actually.
Yeah, for sure.
It's all that.
Yeah. Shout out to him, you know, only.
Shout out DJ Aztec.
Yeah. DJ Aztec. Like, you know, God bless his soul. Because he could have easily been like, oh, well, you guys don't got it. Like, the session ends here kind of thing. But not once did he ever show that, ever.
He definitely sacrificed a lot for us.
He definitely sacrificed a lot.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is the first track.
First track of that.
The Block.
See, I ride with my dogs through the city, you know we ain't giving no fucks. We came from the bottom, we've been through some problems. You knowing damn well we're keeping that thing tucked. You ain't showing love, don't tell me what's up. I don't fuck with that shit, I've been had enough. Been telling the squad that we going up. They fucking wear ratchets, I'm fucking these dogs. Man, I'm feeding the fam, you cannot relate. Running these laps like I'm Nissy the Great. See these niggas is last and I'm winning the race. Had to take some advice so I stayed on my pace. From the VVs, I'm straight out of burns. I was young, I lived and I learned. See my neighbors were shooters, I watched them maneuver. And some of them dead in return. Getting money, my biggest concern. Ain't nothing been handed, all the shit was earned. These niggas be hating, they can't wait to turn. It's fuel to my fire, I'm watching it burn. Studying the city, what have I learned? Mind your bitty, none your concern. Just know it's within me, pages I burn. Yeah, it's my turn, eager to learn. Burn this wood, I'm hot, hot. Smoke this herb and hot hats. OG cushion, yeah, I'm running forward. Scoring goals on my turf, but you know it's God first. Wearing 10 on my back, this is only first half. Cortez and some pants. Backward guard like 6 grams. Watch your clock, it's my time. And she's down to rap. Problems in life really got me jaded. Frequently I be getting faded. Drinking this Henny, feeling intoxicated. It be coming through life too complicated. Trying to make hits, I'm just trying to make it. Wanna make bread with cheese and some bacon. Ain't fuck with these pigs, these niggas be faking. Told us up my dick, too hot to get naked. No way I'm gon' wait, been patiently waiting. Pulled up to the stew, got the boot blazing. It's tech on the beat, we vibing and basing. Heavyweight bill, come and try and take it. You niggas is bitches, my squad is too different. Trusting nobody, cause everyone's switching this shit in a hobby. My team on a mission. My eyes are the low, but we still see the vision.
I just picked it up, took it out of the way. Had to get to the top, got too tired of waiting. Throw back jersey like Y2J. She tapping the hall, I'm beating her walls. My bulls and I straight out the 90s. We just trying to ball. Just trying to ball. Till I collapse, but I ain't finna fall. Been catching these laps since I learned how to crawl. Dime hurt of the team, now I feel like Chris Paul. Some my niggas clippers, some play with the Rockets. My side leg gon' slide if it get out of pocket. These bands in the box, it came from empty pockets. Feel like Randy Moss, ain't nobody stop them. I had to come me like they left me to starve. I'm running this marathon, R.I.P. Marvin. My mom need a house, I need a new car. I'm riding with Martian, my head in the stars. She tryna get face, I ain't even parked. They painted my picture and left out the scars. I'm changing my bitches like I'm changing drawers. For those behind bars, I'm spitting in these bars, I've been going up. Who taking the charge? Watch dirt off my hands, turn myself to a boss. My dog's finna eat, it don't matter the cost.
From the VVs, I'm straight out of burns. I was young, I lived and I learned. See my neighbors were shooters, I watched them maneuver. And some of them dead in return. Getting money, my biggest concern. Ain't nothing been handed, all the shit was earned. These niggas be hanging, they can't wait to turn. It's fuel to my fire, I'm watching the.
Yeah, I was really nervous on this track.
I love knowing that.
Yeah, I was really nervous.
That's the real shit, though. Yeah,
because Fuego, he really motivated me. Like he was pushing me, and telling me, get this done, bro, get this done. You know, so I was just like, oh, what do I say here? What do I do? I don't know how to sound. Like, do I sound like this? You know, so I was really nervous on how I would sound on this song.
Man,
it came out cool, though. I liked it.
It definitely came out cool, and I really like that background because something I appreciate about, especially looking back at art, is behind the scenes,
right?
That time behind the scenes, mm-hmm. Because
unforgettable.
It comes off one way to the listener, to the audience, to everybody watching, to everybody who's got, like, this amount of time for it. But for those of you behind the work, it was like, you don't know what that took out of me.
Yeah.
That took a little bit.
Yeah.
And for sure. Just as you said, I got the homie over here and he's telling me I got to get it done. And I don't know, but.
There was a lot of that.
There was a lot going on through my mind.
Uncertainty on my end. You know what I mean? So I was very uncertain.
That's
like,
not what I meant.
How
though.
Do I sound and how do I do?
I think that was
do
everybody.
Do I sound okay
yeah,
though?
That like, was everybody.
I was just always asking them like.
Everybody minus Fuego. Because I guess at that point, Fuego had already been doing music for like 10 years, yeah, if not.
Fuego had been doing this
since high school.
Yeah, since high. Well, I was rapping with him a lot during high school.
So that's cool. So for a moment, actually, let's shout that out. Yeah, these are John Fuego, Marshall man. Alums right here. Yeah,
John Marshall High School Barrister. That's right. Barrister for life.
These cats are 100% born and bred through the neighborhood. So that means King Middle School. That means King. John Marshall High. That means
Lockwood and Dayton.
Lockwood,
yeah.
Dayton Heights. Shout out.
That's right. Yeah. Look at that. Look at the unity right there. Yeah, Lockwood, yeah. Dayton Heights. Even Virgil Middle School gets some of that love for sure.
Yeah, Virgil, dude. That's crazy. That's
crazy. Slow down. He's there, like, right? Hold up. Maybe not for everybody. But the fact of the matter is that, like, you think about how many people got to make that track in their lives for 4 years at the very least. And everything going on, everything they're going through personally, especially seeing their homies go this or that direction, it takes a while to, like, see that it wasn't as simple as I show up every day and, like, I get it done. There were some days where you didn't know
that, like, what each that you were going to get
through the night.
Them.
Yeah, that you were going to get through this long night, that all these things were going on with your people, that all these things were going on in the neighborhood outside of you that you could not control. Mm-hmm. Things such as the loss of especially our friends, our comrades, our would-be colleagues in this or that case, yeah. Right? And so just as you said, you were rapping with Fuego and sort of just around at that time, and I just liked that idea.
No, they would have ciphers. Like, I remember I never partook in any of the ciphers.
I think you were definitely there, but
I was around.
Like, see, that's what I'm saying.
Hype man for sure.
Yeah. That was dope.
And I love because when I was at Marshall, I didn't come across too many ciphers.
Oh.
So when you all were doing it, you might have been doing something that was right there. Tell me more about the cipher for a moment, though.
So, well, in high school, Fuego was my road dog. We were like this. We would always be together.
Shout out to Fuego, also on the album.
Shout out to Fuego. Shout out to Elmer, yep.
I really wish he could be here, but...
We're going to get that time. We're going to get that time later. Yeah.
During high school, we would just pass by the ramp and, hey, man, let's go cipher. Like, let's go rap. Let's go... what do you got? We have something written during, like, class, and come back and show me stuff.
What? You were writing bars during class,
during
homie?
Class, yeah. Instead of doing what I was supposed
instead
to do.
Instead of doing that geometry?
No, you were doing what you were supposed to be doing.
Exactly, right? Doing some of the things that I was supposed to be doing, I was rhyming, I was coming up with bars, I would listen to the beats, and I would show him, and we would have, like, class together sometimes, and I'd be like, look what I came up with, look. And I had this whole composition notebook full of rhymes.
I remember that.
I remember that. I had a full, and I would carry this book everywhere.
I remember that. With your
I'll
little
carry
pen
it everywhere, yeah. And then that's when
and
we
your
started.
Little JanSport backpack.
Yeah, yeah, my JanSport backpack, my little lunchbox.
With your hoodie.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his stretchers, because motherfucker had stretchers.
Oh, I had stretchers
and spiky hair.
Then, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
I had double zero.
Shout out to anyone who's still brave enough to be rocking those stretchers.
Who's still brave enough? Oh, that's so Damn. Good, bro.
That's crazy.
Oh, man.
But, yeah, me and Fuego, man. If it wasn't for him, I don't think I would have been rapping right now, or I don't think I would have been motivated or pushed to be rapping.
Nah, for sure.
He
for
really
sure.
motivated me to do this.
So. And he was the type of person that always insisted, like, just pull up. Never really the intention. I always felt the intention was like pull up and like make something, but it was never enforced. What was enforced was always like just pull up. Kick it, smoke, drink,
yes,
whatever.
With him, it was like, if you show up, that's already half the work.
Battle, yeah.
That's half the work.
Which
yeah.
is probably true yeah, you, most of the time.
Right?
Anything
yeah, because
you
that is
do.
That that's is right. half the battle. And it's actually, I think it's the same. Like, half the battle is, like, showing up.
That's the main thing. Yeah. Show up, yo. Like, with anything, like a job or with an appointment or whatever, show up. Just show up.
Man, really.
The opportunities, like
that. That's
the
right.
The opportunities
just
there.
Show up, bro.
That's right. That. Really up, living it. Really living it.
Yeah.
And actually, don't forget that line. Just show up because, hey, when that next session gets going, just show up.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah.
That's exactly
it's
how
just,
these.
It's just opportunities, man. Like, yeah. if you know there's an opportunity, take it. you know, because you never know when you're gonna get that.
I remember being so heavy on that when we were in the studio, like,
yeah,
like
you gotta just show up. We would be like, just show up, man, because today is the day, you know, today's the day, today's the day.
Sorry, guys, I can't make it.
Right?
Like somebody earlier, like somebody.
We're
a
not gonna
bit
drop
earlier.
Names though, you know.
Who said I'll be there between?
I know.
I'll be there between 4 and 4:20. You got here 4:22 ish, but it's all good. You were catching up with somebody that you saw.
Yeah.
Randomly, because you're from here like that.
Yeah.
He showed up, guys.
That's right. That's right.
Which, again, shout out to David. Shout out to David Gomez.
He's a local, too. He's
local,
he's
too, down
friend.
The block.
Oh, yeah.
Brands and Madison.
He went to Marshall. Yeah. He went to King.
He went to Lockwood.
Shout out
King.
All these cats. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out all these cats. It really isn't easy to come together, especially with these family obligations, with work. Especially because as you get through more of your 20s, your people start getting into more serious relationships sometimes. They got children.
Their own lives. Just,
yeah, they got children they got to feed and bring up, and all power to it, all love to it. And so then that means that it's sometimes just you and a few other folks who get to be together in a room, hanging out, chatting it up, or dropping bars.
Yeah.
And so I really appreciate those shout outs, and my big goal, my big idea would be for us to have a listening party, to enjoy some of this together.
That'd be something, bro.
And if not for the Virgil Village album, then for the follow-up or for volume 2.
Right.
Whenever that comes up. No
I'm
promises
for,
as
I'm
of
for
yet.
All of it.
Yeah, no promises as of yet. But I'm just saying that, hey, you don't know. I didn't know that somebody was going to take the time to do it in the first place, and now we're here.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
yeah.
Shout out to you too, bro. That,
I was just going
to
say that.
Thank you for taking the time to have us right here and talk to us and ask us questions and actually, like, you know,
I was just
ask
gonna
us
say
about
that.
Us and find out, you know, pick our brains.
Yeah. 100%. The biggest shout out.
Thank you. I really
Jimbo
appreciate
time.
You.
100%. Jimbo Times. Yep. Out here with Sick Ass Ham as well as Deuces of the VVs.
Even hearing our names is just, you know, it's like.
In the Virgil Village.
That's right.
The Virgil Village. This place that we came up in, this place that we know all too well, this place that you're going to love and hate a little bit because it's got a little bit of everything. Just like with the city of LA. There's so much to it, and there's a lot of love, but there's a lot of loss that you got to go through in order to really know this town.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that just the other day as I came across this mural of Kobe Bryant and his daughter. Rest in peace
Another
to 824. Rest in peace to every legend we've lost over just a handful of years out here in LA, especially these role models, especially these superstars. That's right.
That's what you said.
No, it's just, there has been a lot of deaths. When you wrap your mind how many people we've lost, who we've lost.
You know who I think about sometimes?
It's very important to know, like, damn, we've lost a lot of people.
Jennifer.
Yeah, Jennifer.
Rest in peace, Jennifer Mendoza.
She was really cool.
Beautiful soul, bro.
Yeah, she went to Marshall, too.
Yeah.
Another Marshall alum.
Yeah,
okay.
She was,
King Middle School alum as well.
No, I don't know about King.
No, no, she lived in a different area, but she was definitely really
That's right.
She attended.
The neighborhood is that, too. The neighborhood is also, like, people that are not strictly here,
strictly from here, yeah,
but
yeah,
who are
but
still a part of your community, still a part of your.
I think she was Echo
fams.
Park area.
Okay,
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and we're always
she
Echo
played,
Park.
She played softball for our high school team.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
She unfortunately passed away in a car accident. I think someone crashed into her. Yeah. There's been a lot, dude.
Yeah,
Gummy.
Yeah. I mean, actually, one day, like, I think a little bit about the 60s for a moment because I really sort of have spent time looking at that moment in history, at least here on this side of the world. And I think about the losses that communities experienced then, losses of some major figures, people that seemed to have every bit of life still ahead of them, who nonetheless lost their lives, especially unexpectedly and violently at that. And I realize one day somebody's going to look back and trace everything that took place over just a handful of years, including the pandemic, but also those years leading up to that moment. Right. And they're going to realize just as well that folks were going through a lot at this time. Mm-hmm. Folks, including young people such as ourselves, were having to process quite a bit of information day in and day out. And so for me, actually, when you come through and you say, I'm going to take my time
and really focus on saying something meaningful and really let everybody know that here is just a bit of how I've gotten through. Maybe it can help you along your way. That matters, because that's the kind of focus and discipline and sharpening of our mind, especially as young men, that we need out there. Yeah. So yeah. Much power to
it. Especially young men that didn't have like a father figure. Not even a father figure, but like the father in the household. It's crazy like that you brought up, because it almost feels like authenticity. Like nobody in the studio that we were with, not to like start beef or anything like that, but like at least us, the VVs, like, you know, like nobody ever really rapped about something that they weren't going through, kind of shit. Like everything was authentic. Everything was from an experience, whether it was at that moment, like we're struggling right now, whether it's from like the past or I don't know, you know, living here, experience or whatever. So like being really grounded to like the struggle, I guess, kind of brought this like authentic feel to like the project, because there's not one song or there's not one bar from any of us that I can be like, that was bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, because, you know, rappers tend to do that. They tend to over-exaggerate, you know, X, Y, and Z or whatever the fuck. Not us. Like, and I don't mean that, again, I don't mean that, like, I'm not shooting fires at mm-hmm. nobody or nothing like that, you know. You get it how you live. But, like, yeah. I thought that was really dope, because I felt more connected with you guys. Mm-hmm. Like, as far as, like, team members go, because I'm like, yeah, bro, like, I know exactly what that's like. And it felt dope. It felt dope to have that fucking level of, like, rawness to it, you know? Yeah,
I really like that, because it brings to mind for a moment this line by none other than Champagne Poppy, as he calls himself. It brings to mind this line he dropped a while back, where he says, I was waiting for my pops. He said he was coming to the house, and he never showed up. And I learned my lesson then. I had to grow up. And that's something that a lot of young people through these neighborhoods have had to process. Young men and young women, young everybody, we can say, because there's a lot of folks out here who have had to deal with one parent at home mm-hmm. and sometimes no parents at home. We know that has taken place for our community just as well. So when we are taking the time to say something we've truly thought about and spent time honing in on, that's for all of us.
Yeah, for sure.
That's for all of us.
I like to.
And especially those kids who are out there thinking right now, what's the point? I mean, what, the world is on fire.
Right, what am I doing here?
The world is on fire. Everybody is beefing with each other. The world doesn't have time for somebody like myself. The world doesn't care about what I have to say. Guess what? A lot of young people have been through exactly that same path, and yet we have crafted something of it. They can do it too. Yeah. This is for everybody
that. Yeah, of course.
I don't know how you feel publicly speaking about.
Oh, my mom's. Oh, yeah. But well, she passed away. My mom's passed away during COVID.
Wow.
She didn't necessarily die of COVID.
Sure.
But complications led to that. You know what I mean? But that really motivated me, too, to finish this. Because I remember when she was conscious, because she was mostly on a defibrillator.
Wow.
Most of the time. So, but she really wanted me to do this. She was just like, Mijo, you should do it. You should do it, Mijo. Like, I know that you probably don't have time or you whatever, but you need to do it.
I love that so much.
The only reason why I bring that up is because I would like to say, and not just publicly, like, you know, on some fucking, like, for the gram kind of shit, but, like, for sure, shout out and rest in peace to your moms, bro. Oh,
that's right. Thank you. 100,000.
Because I, like, especially when, like, me personally, when sometimes when, like, I hit rock bottom and I struggle, I really tend to look back at, like, not really my friends who have had my back, but I tend to think more about, like, I remember I've gone to Ham's place once or twice or three times. And I remember that, like, if I wanted to, there was a plate for me to eat from.
My mom was always.
Which was, like.
She would always want to be serving people food. That's what my mom was.
That's and so that's sweet, man.
Bro, that's so fucking crazy to me, bro. Yeah,
she wouldn't care. Like, have you ate me, huh?
Yeah. Like, and nah, the cool. crazy like, thing, nah, too, the crazy thing too is like,
don't worry.
Yeah, like, I'd be kind of ashamed because, like, I mean, I was going over her house to, like, smoke weed.
Yeah.
Which wasn't like a, you know, so it's not like I'm over here showing up to her house to do something good, productive with her son. You know what I mean? Like, fucking over here killing our brain cells and shit. And she still had, like, the love and
she's
attention.
Not judging you. She's
no,
not
yeah, for sure.
You. Like,
that just sticks to me a
I
lot,
think,
bro.
I think, like, the first time my mom ever caught me smoking weed, I got caught at school.
Wow.
She was heartbroken. But after
what grade
while,
was that?
That was seventh grade.
In the seventh grade,
so
okay.
I got caught with a bunch of weed and stuff. And they kicked me out of school. They kicked me out of King.
For sure.
So I had to go
for
to sure. school. But, It was just crazy. She got used to the fact that I was just gonna do it. She's like, I'd rather you just smoke right here,
yeah,
in my supervision than having to smoke with somebody who's gonna kill you, like,
or get into some other shit. Yeah. You know?
She so accepted mom, her son off was, the bat. Yeah, she accepted her son really off cool the bat.
And she accepted my friends for that. That's really tough because a lot of parents will judge you,
yeah,
and judge your friends, you know, and tell them, you know, tell you they're not good people.
Right.
But my mom was never like that. She would always be ready right. with another play for my friends. And that
actually, I think that's another convo for a different day as well, though. Yeah. The sort of the tension that exists between the way we're coming up, mm-hmm, especially growing up in this culture and in this city, versus the way so many of our parents, so many of our people came up,
yeah,
and their feelings about it, right?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
just as you're saying, it was rare. Your mom was the exception in this case,
yeah,
to a much larger disapproval, a much larger sense that, like, hey, you need to be doing something. Like you said, you need to be working. You need to be putting in that time.
Yeah.
You need to be out there getting money, not
smoking and just wasting time,
rhyming, thinking you're going to be the next yeah superstar. But that's got to be going on all over America.
Yeah, yeah,
not just
yeah
in
sure
Los Angeles. I'm see, thinking yeah about everywhere that working people are at, mm-hmm, it's got to be going on. Just where do the kids go?
Yeah.
Especially with the way things appear, the way the job market
looks.
Especially
with their, like, experiences kind of thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Especially with our parents'
yeah
experiences
that,
where,
I
like,
think
they were not cut that forgiveness. They were
right
not cut that same sympathy.
Right.
They were at work or they were gone. So that's their lived yeah experience in
yeah
so many cases. And they pass that on to you or insist on it for you, and yet you're still going to feel a little differently about it because the
our
world
reality
has just
is different,
moved differently.
Yeah, yeah,
that's
our,
right, for
our,
you.
Our reality is different than what, like, than what their reality is, and, like, my son's reality is going to be different than what mine was. And so,
hey,
you know,
shout out to all the poppies out there. Shout
out
to
all
the dads.
Yeah.
All
shout,
the
out
dads.
To all the shout out to all the fathers. Shout out to all the mothers.
Shout
single
out to all the poppies who still actually even make mention of the fact that they got
two
their
jobs overtime
yeah
and
yeah
still find the time to go see their kids.
Yeah.
That's a real father.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
for
real
sure
parents right there. Also, shout out to the moms because the moms do that too.
100%. 100%. There's
time
a lot to be said, though, about especially when you came up without your papi, without your father in your life, and you making a choice that, you know what, I will be there for mine, though. Right?
Oh,
I'm going to take the
yeah
extra
yeah
step
course
because
yeah
it's still going on out there. It's
yeah
still going on out there. So
yeah
much love to it. Let's listen to the third track for a minute just
yeah
to get into it, just
yeah
to get into that mindset. The third track, Wanna Know.
Oh, I love that song, man. I wanna know. She's like, I'm not on this
I yet hate that. No, I hate, but, like, it's my least favorite song. I'm so sorry, dog. But
it,
like,
I love this song, dude.
This to me was the most unexpected turn.
Yeah.
After the block, so it was just like,
you're like, what the hell? Yeah, different cadence,
when
different
she comes
sound. Everything,
yeah,
it's,
yeah.
Come to. and it was on your plate. I told you I ain't got the time, but you still going out your way. And every time I break you off, so every time you wanna stay. Having three-way conversations, just me, you, and Mary Jane. Shawty ass look like a stallion, drove me crazy, Tory Lanez. And every time she over me, that thing be dripping like some rain. Fingers all up in her panties, it sound like some mac and cheese. She the type to blow my candles while a nigga half asleep. Told her bring a couple friends, it's me and him and Don C. All she wanna do is fuck, so we ain't got no time to speak. We fussin' fuckin', we ain't got time to talk. They tryna get her, but I got it on lock. They talk about it, but it don't even knock. Her socks off, she ain't wearing no socks. She call me daddy, could've swam her pops. Put it on her, write my name on the box. That's a dime, she belong to a boss. She like fuego, fuck me till I say stop. How she screaming, neighbors calling the cops. Shawty get it, it don't matter the cost. Dream team, we ain't taking no loss. Booty clapping like a round of applause.
Not like you, but I have to pretend my friends don't know about you. If we hide, we'll be better. Baby, you got that style, that personality. You got that power to melt all in me. If you wanna dance, oh baby, come to. I don't wanna dance and fun without you. If you wanna dance, oh baby, come to. I wanna know. If you wanna dance, oh baby, come to. I don't wanna dance and fun without you. If you wanna dance, oh baby, come to. I wanna know.
I just wanna know if you're happy or not. I know we be constantly fighting a lot. Seem like you really want me out of the spot, but I just wanna let you know you're my rock. And I'ma take you all the way to the top, where I'ma slam you like you threw me a lot. Started thinking I got tired of the thoughts, world of riches, but I still beat the box. So much love flowing through to my veins, I'll be there when it's hard to maintain. Anything that be causing you pain, grip her hair while she pulling my chain. When I'm in it, only time it should hurt. She dripping wet, cause she love when I flirt. She love it more when I put in this work. Kill the pussy, put it into a hearse.
Shawty playing hard to get, shooting bricks, can't hit the net. Brooklyn Dodgers on my head while I hit it from the back. No, I need my money stack, so I cook up in the lab. These days we gotta make them last. You should go accept your best. Rip that band and peel that scab. Make them silent with your vibe and watch them pick a side. All love is just a thought. Can't forget the shit I cost. So I rock my rocks, made a left, heading west. With the word of God, I know what I want.
Not like you, but I have to pretend my friends don't know about you. If we hide, we'll be better. Baby, you got that style, that personality. You got that power to melt all in me. If you wanna dance, oh baby, come to. I don't wanna dance and fun without you. If you wanna dance, oh baby, come to. I wanna know. If you wanna dance, oh baby, come to. I don't wanna dance and fun without you. If you wanna dance, oh baby, come to.
Me and him and Don C.
All she wanna do is fuck, so we ain't got no time to speak. We bustin' fuckin', we ain't got time to talk. They tryna get her, but I got it up locked. They talk about it, but it don't even knock. Her socks off, she ain't wearing no socks. She call me daddy, but it's swam her pants.
Yo, Fuego's dope.
Fuego's the most skilled.
He's ill with the turn of phrase.
He's the more skilled out of all of us.
He's just definitely. So ill, that's yeah, for sure.
Bro, his ability to make double entendres or like compare, like it's insane, bro.
To just
like,
play. Yeah, I actually feel like he's playing basketball a little bit.
Right, well, with the words.
That's right, with the words. It's like he's just switching it up on you, and he's just like pump faking, mm-hmm. He's alley-ooping, yeah. He's doing everything you can think of.
Yo.
It really feels like a game with his rhyme and his flow that he is completely aware of. So just as you said, it's something that he, especially by the time of this album, has been doing for some 10 years.
Yeah, he's been doing it for
at least
a long time. And like I said, if it wasn't for him, I probably wouldn't have gotten on the album. I probably wouldn't have rapped. You know, I probably wouldn't have rhymed.
For sure. I think that we all made this album because of him.
Yeah.
I think that some way, somehow.
He was definitely the backbone of everything.
Yeah. Because I don't.
He helped every one of us find our talent.
I don't actually
put our talent to work.
Yeah. I don't remember. He was kind of like.
You better register
like
that wherever you're at.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
He was like the manager. Not managers in like your 9-to-5, but he was like the manager of like the
group. Creative director, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
No, because we're all creative directors.
Okay.
Everybody had a creative insight, which was beautiful. But he was like, I would go as far to say, like, if there was probably a person that we had to point as the leader, this for sure would be on Fuego.
Fuego.
Yeah.
Well, especially when somebody's been doing it for that long.
And it naturally felt lean. More like, so what do we do here? Like, you know, what.
Yeah, lean on your strengths.
Yep. Yeah.
Lean on that tone. Yeah. Lean on folks who have done this before and who you know or trust have your best interest in mind. How can you lose that way, right? So right. Ham, you heard him and he was like, it's ready. You and I, we got to get on it together. So you hopped on with him.
Yeah. It was cool. I didn't really know what to say because I didn't know what he was going to say or whatever. But when he showed me the song at first, I said, oh yeah, I gotta get on it,
man. That's
it's a dope
so
song
cool.
Yeah, it's a dope song. I never listened to R&B growing up, like I never like love songs and things like not that it's not for me because I love some, but like, yeah, I don't know, I heard the song and they were super hype about it and they were like yeah. Blah, 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 and I was like, yeah, nah, I'm good.
Well, it's funny because I think that happens a lot in hip-hop in a certain way. Like, there's such a close connection to R&B, but you have, like, this branch of the crew, we can say, that's really into both hip-hop and R&B that came up on both, that came up on oldies and classics, even the Beatles, and then some, like, cool. Right. And then you got this other branch that's like, nah, like, I came up listening to hip-hop and underground rap
Right.
Or some of the classics,
which
and, like,
crazy.
That's what I go with, and that's what I run
which
with.
Which is crazy because this dude grew up more with, like, I know about Atmosphere because of him, yeah. I think, to be honest with you. I don't think
oh,
I don't
shout
think
out Atmosphere. It's been a minute.
Shout out Slug.
And Ant. They're still
sure,
doing it. I'm sure they're playing a show as we speak somewhere.
For sure, Slug is an MC that, like, I do look up to. Like, there's a lot of songs like Scapegoat that I'm like, damn, I wish I can rhyme like this. Yeah. You know, like,
it's funny
Slug
too.
Is,
it's funny too.
One of them.
I found out about Atmosphere through a friend just as well, and then when I came across Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2,
yeah,
it was Pro Skater 2.
Yeah. Oh, that's crazy.
I realized, oh wait, I know
he's
this
really
song.
Out here. Yeah,
I know who this is, and it's Atmosphere, and it's a whole vibe. Yeah. And so shout out to, especially at that moment in time when the underground it was still,
oh
like,
man, it was so hot.
Yeah,
dude, like,
it was still in this final stage though, before everybody got a smartphone and everybody could listen to the same.
Oh my god,
it was just a little more of an exclusive kind of situation at that point.
I don't even know.
Your friend's iPod was a big deal, or at least in my time,
homie's
iPod was a big deal because
it was new.
Yeah, like, you know what's up with this. Yeah, and you know what's up with this, and I know what's up with this, and whoever doesn't know what's up, that's all good, but this is us.
Yeah.
Like, and nowadays, everybody can tune in to the same cats.
Right, yeah.
And, like, cool, not knocking it or anything like that. It's just that the underground was really something you lived for a minute, and I suppose that's where your head was at for the most part.
For sure.
Rather than some of the classics some of that R&B.
And that's what I was going to bring up. Ham knew a lot about like underground stuff.
Yeah,
he knew a lot about like metal, like rock and metal stuff. Because in his room, I remember he used to have like guitars and whatnot. And like, I was really surprised when he made that song, because I just initially thought like he never once struck me as like that kind of dude to make a sentimental song,
yeah,
or like a love song. Even Elmer. But Elmer being an MC, like, he, whatever beat, he will fucking spit to anything. Like, he spits to anything. So, you know,
yeah, that I definitely was more on the underground side. I like Wu-Tang. I like Atmosphere, you know.
Oh, for
Black Sheep, you know, all them stuff.
Yeah,
all,
sure. Man, for sure.
I remember you.
I would just bump that all day, and then
even like Cypress Hill.
Before all that, I was a metalhead. I was a thrasher. I had long hair. I had tight pants, and I had chains coming out of my pants.
Actually, that's a transition that a lot of young people, I'm sure, not just at King and at Marshall, have gone through, but I'm sure all over LA, you really start with like this loud, provocative,
kind of rebellious,
cutting edge music.
I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is.
Kind of you you gravitate to the sound of it, to the very raw sound of that,
right?
And its embodiment. And so you get that with some of these ageless bands, Metallica and Black Sabbath, and then later, Korn for me was a big deal.
Was amazing.
You know what I'm saying? Like all of these. Yeah, all of these cats, like, we could go on and on shouting them out, and then eventually you find that, like, oh, wait, that happens in hip-hop, too, and then you can get into the storytelling there, because there's, in my opinion, just a little more of a story in a lot of hip-hop, rather than some of what you got out there with metal and such, but, like, it all works. It all works, and you'll never forget those, like, classic rock bands that you love.
Yeah, those are, like, it's almost like it says a lot about your personality, kind of like they're your roots. I can see even a ham spitting hip hop, I can still see some like metal and rock stuff in there. Like, you know, it's crazy. Like, it's just the shit that we grew up with, kind of thing.
Yeah, well, the reason I got into metal and thrash and all that, because my dad's a musician, so he liked all the he liked all the guitar, and
so it's in you, bro.
He played. That's right. I'm a musician.
So it's in you, bro.
Hey. I'm a musician. So
Ham, so a musician. Let him know.
Ham, the musician.
Since I was like 8 years old, guitar, drums, bass, and all that. So
I do remember drum.
Yeah, I still have my drum set.
I think I remember. You would even take your drumsticks to school every now and then.
Yeah, and then I would bring my guitar everywhere, and my dad wanted me to be a musician first. He wanted me to play music like Spanish, norteños, corridos, and stuff like that.
Wow.
Like, he plays a lot of bajo sexto.
Root shit.
Yeah, my dad's like all into that, like bajo sexto, you know, all that stuff.
What is that? What's bajo sexto?
Bajo sexto is like a 12-string guitar, but for Spanish, like norteños. Norteños would use all that. So it's a 12-string guitar.
That's crazy. Yeah. What that reminded me of was like in Honduras, we have like a national music kind of thing. It's called punta.
Oh, punta is amazing.
Which is very like, it's almost very like African, like
inspired.
Yeah, like drum and bass kind of thing. Yeah. Sure. I actually think it derived from like African like music style. You know how like when they get
by
together
all means,
and they
by all means.
And like my there's this band called Kasabe, which is a famous punta band. And like now they're like worldwide, which is freaking crazy. True story. My mom is really good friends with them, and like they would come right here at like whenever they would land in LA to like do shows or whatever, they would come up to my house and like have a barbecue or carne asada or whatever. And they kind of mainly did that because they didn't have a lot of people in the States. That like, cause they would like to come here, and like they wouldn't really necessarily like to like sleep in hotel rooms, so they would always like to crash at a friend's house.
Sure,
because it was more of like a we're here to like, kind of like, have fun and shit. You know, like, it's not just like work or like concert related or whatever the fuck. I actually have like this whole sheet of like all of their like signatures that I made them, like, you know, like in case you guys get famous and shit.
Hey,
I made them give me like signatures and shit. So like, it's dope. Yeah, and like. So you talking about that and like your father and like musician made me think about again like roots. Like, I grew up listening to punta. Like, it's what my mom bumped, you know, Saturday mornings and whatnot. You know, it's quite interesting hearing how different like our backgrounds can be, not only musically but like personally or whatever. But like right now we're talking about music specifically. But like, who would have thought that that would have turned into hip hop, and then hip hop would have turned into like you doing something with like your friends, you know,
the
like,
cipher.
Yeah, the cipher.
No, that's crazy. The ciphers, like it was just
a lot of ticky tack, right?
A lot of at least for me, for sure. But I do remember Ham and Fuego automatically having a skill set when it came to like freestyle and cipher, which I always wonder, like, are these motherfuckers bullshitting? Like, how the fuck are they so good at this shit? Like, just coming up with shit, you know? I always knew, like, nah, I'm pretty sure they write some of this shit or whatever, right? But, like, there's a trick to it kind of thing.
That's right.
But, like,
that's right.
You can tell that that's a skill that, like, you don't kind of forget, you know?
Well, you have to care about it to develop the skill.
Yeah, of course. True. You know what I mean? Because they would do that.
For you to not know whether what they have is written or off the top, they've spent time.
They spent kind of like sure that he has a composition exactly book. Difference. So
yeah, spent hours, yeah. And yeah. hours, sometimes yeah. days just rhyming. And just,
I mean, it's so cool, especially knowing that your pops has wanted that for you in this or that way, and then to know that Fuego, you connect with Fuego, and Fuego is really going to push you to do some of your better work. And so, man, it's going down. And what I think we're going to do for now is we're going to cap it. Let's do like a part one or a part two, or see who we can bring out the next time.
Yeah, of course.
Just that we are all chilling and kicking it, talking about the creative process. For now, we are here. We've gotten this introductory convo between us together. And I love it, man, because it gives me a lot more insight, especially hearing about your backgrounds as you came into this project. And I realized, oh, for sure. Like, we gotta frame this so that everybody knows in just the right way. Just like what we did with the album, right? Like, right. Oh, okay, let's get those pieces. Let's get those golden nuggets out. And then let's make sure that we arrange them as we need to put on the best show for folks. So I really appreciate both of you coming through. Shout out once again to Sick Ass Ham, as well as to Deuce Ace. Shout out to Don
shout
C.
Shout out to you, bro.
Shout out to Fuego. Shout out to the whole Virgil Village, to East Hollywood, to everybody who's just coming across some of these neighborhoods, but who can see that they're working class, that they're people coming up.
Yeah, and speaking about working class, there's a couple of our friends that are trying to do, like, for example, like Victor. He's like cooking every now and then, and he shout out to Victor, Chef Vic.
He grew up in the village too. He's a local in the village too.
Everybody. Yeah. We're going to get as many of these.
We're going to get everybody in the village
Man,
in here.
Yeah.
We're going to get as many
I'm
of
thinking
these
about
as
everybody
can.
That I've seen on my Instagram story, even my ex Cynthia. Shout out to Cynthia. She's over here trying to you know, this like, yeah. I don't know. It's just it's really cool to see like people care about this shit kind
that's
of thing,
right.
You know, like,
that's right. And you better start believing it and let it be.
Yep.
You better start believing it and let it be. Let it be. And see
how you singled me out.
See what
for a reason.
And see what else you got in line for them. Let them know, hey, you like this. You didn't even know what's coming to you next.
Facts.
Right, exactly.
Facts.
Because we stay just getting started out here. All right.
Facts,
we'll cap it for now, you two. I appreciate it. Thank you for joining me on JT, the LA Storyteller Podcast.
Shout out to JT. Go follow
Let's go.
Go follow the community.
That's right. Follow the newsletter. Subscribe to the newsletter.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I
that's right.
Blanked out on the name.
It's all good. Making a Neighborhood.
Making a Neighborhood. I was going to say In the Neighborhood. Go follow and subscribe to Making
a Neighborhood.
Making a Neighborhood. Hey, you want to know a crazy story about that? I used to live in Boyle Heights and for like a year. And I remember seeing that somewhere in Boyle Heights.
Okay.
I don't know.
I could see something like that.
Because I remember
I see how that is.
I remember when you told us we were gonna write the piece and then you sent us, I saw the Making the Neighborhood like logo and everything, and I'm like, I've seen this shit in Boyle Heights before. Like I don't know how I've heard about it.
Shout out to my homegirl Sammy. That must have been because of my good homegirl and colleague Sammy Haylu Hernandez. Oh, okay. And also my homegirl Ali Rachel Pearl. So we're gonna connect more of these dots together. I can assure you this. For now, we've certainly gotten started, and man, it's been my pleasure, gentlemen.
Yeah, the pleasure is all ours,
bro.
You know.
Likewise.
Let's do this.
It's Jimbo times.